Title, isn't it? Don't ask, don't tell. Who started that? Bill Clinton in the military?
I don't know. Oh, yeah.
Not what we're talking about today, though. We're moving through the book of Galatians here, having an excellent time. Now, let's pick it up here in chapter 1, still, starting in verse 15. Now, Paul's given his testimony. They're trashing him now in Galatia once he left town. You know, when you don't like the message, you either shoot the messenger like Jesus, or you do your best to discredit him or her. And with Paul, they tried both. Now, let's pick it up here in verse 13. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. One translation says, I tried to waste it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace. All right, this is where we left off last week, remember? We learned that, unfortunately, God does not operate according to our timetable, but he operates according to his. Not when it pleases Pastor Paul, but when it pleases God. God didn't reveal the identity of his son to Paul until a bunch of seemingly bad things had to happen to innocent people first. Remember? Paul went around the world terrorizing Christians, seeing their imprisonment or even death because he wasn't a believer yet. And sometimes that just astounds me. That God just sits and doesn't do anything. While good people, bad things happen to them. Men, women, and children, for nothing that they have done. Paul takes and throws them in jail. And he's going to be a believer. God's going to answer his prayer, but he does nothing. He does nothing. All we can do is get on our knees and praise God. And lean not on our own understanding. God is good. God's established himself as faithful to you and in your life. You know he's got a plan. Paul goes around the world terrorizing Christians. God waits. God waits. This caused godly men and women to scatter north, south, east, and west, taking the gospel with them. This is what spread the gospel around Europe, Paul's sin. You don't see it at the time, but God takes evil and turns it around for his glory and for good. I don't understand it, but I'm not called to understand it. I'm called to trust him when I don't understand, Darren. Trust God when I don't understand it. This is how Christianity spread. You see, you know, I looked up the word because I want to make sure I was using it right. The word axiom. You know what axiom means? An axiom is a statement that is self-evidently true. And here's the axiom. All things work together for good to them that to the called according to his purpose. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. That's Romans 8:28. Now that is the definition of an axiom. A statement that is self-evidently. Look at the evidence. That'd be a true statement. He can even take your own sins and mishaps and missteps and turn to some of my greatest victories I've had in life has been from my sin. That after I did what Peter did and wept bitterly, he turned it around for good, for his glory. Much as it hurts to let him down like that. Okay, so when it pleased God, verse 16, when it pleased God to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those that were apostles before me. But I went to Arabia, and afterward I returned again to Damascus. All right, meaning when God showed Paul something, be it a great revelation or a new direction to venture in or a new path to travel down or the greatest new revelation of them all like this was, when God gave that to him, he did not confer with flesh and blood. That means he didn't go to someone and ask them what their opinion was. And neither should you. Not to your best friend, not to your mother, not to your father. If God has called you to do something, and if you are not married, catch the stipulation here, and you're not married, don't run that plan by anybody, at least for advice. God gave those instructions to you, not to them. I mean, God gave you a special revelation. Why are you going to go to him and ask him about it? He doesn't know what you have. He doesn't know what God gave you. And 9 out of 10 times, what God gave you isn't even going to make sense to you.
That's right.
Why, pray tell, what do you think it's going to make sense to him? Of course, if you're not married. If you're married, God will... Everything will be in agreement. Your spouse will get the same understanding, just like Joseph and Mary had the same understanding. Cut bait and run. They both knew what to do. Same it will be if you're married. There'll be an agreement. There'll be an agreement. You don't lord it over your husband or wife. There's confirmation. There's agreement. No, I won't even go there. Bless his heart. You just can't expect people to know what God's given you to do. I knew early on I was going to be a minister, a pastor. And a lot of people didn't believe that because they judged me on what they saw on the outside. And they were wrong. But God was right. Here I am today. God can take a wreck of a person, no matter how bad they are, no matter how unqualified, Moses, that they are. God can take that kind of person and do great things with, regardless of what your family members tell you. See, I didn't know this scripture back then. I shouldn't have even told my father that. I shouldn't have even told him that. But I'll tell you what, my dad lived long enough to see me get ordained, by golly. There's pictures of it. He lived long enough to see that happen. What's God calling you to do today? Has he given you a special revelation, something that he wants you to do? Don't expect others to understand it. Because it was given to you. But don't steamroll over your husband or wife if you're married. You know, I think that's why Paul said, I wish that all of you were like I am. And that is, not married. So then you could go about serving the Lord and doing whatever he led you to do. Free and clear. Let me move on. Number Notice too, Paul said he was separated for service for God while he was in the womb of his mother. Now, don't deceive yourself, friend. I heard the head of the Democrat Party say that, quote, a baby is not a baby until her mother takes it home from the hospital, unquote. Boulder Dash. You can hope that all you want, but hoping does not make it true. You cannot dispose of a beautiful baby that easy. It doesn't work that way. God had a plan for Paul before he was born in his mother's womb. God had a plan for the forerunner of the Messiah as well in his mother's womb. Look at what happened to her when she was pregnant. You read back in Luke 1:39, Mary arose in those days, went to the hill country with haste to the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So don't tell me that a baby is a lump of protoplasm, because you're wrong. You're wrong. And if you're on the wrong side of this, if you side with Mrs. Pelosi and her friends, just all I can say is remember that the wages of sin is death. If you're wrong on this one, you're toast. Okay. So when God tells you or imparts to you the vision to go do something, don't ask someone's opinion, because God didn't give the vision to someone else. He gave it to you. And as I said, the vision won't make sense to somebody else. For that matter, it probably won't make sense to you either. Proverbs 3:5 I wrote on here. It's what I whispered in Darren's ears the day he was ordained in this church. As it was in me when I was ordained in front of my dad. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Okay, more of Paul's testimony. Verse 18. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem. All right, this is probably 3 years after he became a believer. After 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter. And I remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Hey, look at that. Jesus had a brother. Did you know that? Don't believe the teaching or the things that you hear out there that Mary only had one child, Jesus. James is the Lord's brother. And this verse as well. Listen to this. This is Mark 6:3. So long, Richie. God bless you, brother. Okay. Mark 6:3. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary? The brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. So don't let anyone kid you or lead you, deceive you. Jesus had brothers and sisters. He had a family. Verse 20, more of his testimony. Now, concerning these things which I write to you, indeed, before God, I do not lie. Afterwards, I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was unknown by face to the churches of Judea, which are in Christ. But they were hearing only, he who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God in me. Ha! Praise God. What a testimony that is, huh? Even a Christian hater like the Apostle Paul can be saved. So no matter who you are, and no matter what you have done, you too can be saved. Same as Peter. Same as Pastor Paul. Same as anyone else. If you're watching online here, and if you think, if someone has lied to you, if someone's trying to deceive you into thinking that what you have done you can't be forgiven of, that is a lie from the pit of hell. There is nothing that you have done in your life that Jesus didn't die for and shed his blood for. If we confess our sins, and confess doesn't mean you're going to tip him off to something he doesn't know. It means to agree along with. He already knows what you've done. If you confess, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's good news, folks. I know my church family here, but you know, we all go through these things from time to time where we think we've done something so bad or we've let God down in such a way that we can't go to him again and seek forgiveness. And let me tell you that that's a lie from hell. The blood can even cleanse you of no matter what sin that you've done. And if you're watching and if you have not received Christ because you think you're too much of a sinner, no, these guys were murderers. Paul would never be allowed to serve as pastor in a church in America today. Not based on his resume. Or how about Moses? You think Moses could get a job as a preacher? Huh? He killed someone. Never happened. But God will forgive you. Deacons might not, but God will. Right? Deacons might not forgive you, but God will forgive you. People might scorn you, but God will forgive you. See, Jesus has gone through the same things, right? He was in all points tempted as we are. Jesus has been through what you're going through. He can relate. Remember, Jesus' favorite name for himself was what? The Son of Man. He knows what you're going through. He can relate to what you're going through. And is still, his arms are outstretched to you today. All you got to do is call on the name of the Lord. If you're watching me today, call on the name of the Lord. With the heart one believes unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made, just like we're going to do next Sunday morning to start the service. I believe Jesus Christ is Lord, and he's my Lord. Confession is made unto salvation, no matter who you are and no matter what you've done. And indeed, that is good news. All right, chapter 2. Anybody think it's cold in here? No? Good. All right. Oh, less? No. All right, good. No one in here thinks it's cold? Then, after 14 years, all right, now this corresponds, if you're a dot connector here, to Acts chapter 15. Known as the Jerusalem Council. If you want to find out where else in the Bible this testimony he's giving is talking about, it would be Acts chapter 15. So then, after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas. And I took Titus with me. And I went up by revelation, meaning God told him to go. I went up by revelation, and I communicated to them the gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation. Meaning, as soon as he got there, he preached to James and John and Andrew and all the big guns first to get, I hate to say their approval, but I'll just word it that way for no other reason. Let's go on here. I went up by revelation. I communicated to them the gospel, which I preached among the Gentiles, But privately, I went to those who are of reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain. Meaning if James and John and Bartholomew and Philip and Thomas are all against you, you might not get that far. So if they were going to be against him, at least he would have considered himself having run in vain. And I still don't even believe that. I read Oswald Chambers said, if you look at Jesus' ministry, you'd call him a failure. And we know that that's not true. I went up by revelation. Okay, verse 3. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out the liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. To whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Okay, look at these secret words here. Number one, counterfeit Christians. Secretly brought in. Number two is they came in by stealth. That is, unnoticed. Number three, they were spies. Spies to determine what part of the law they were not keeping. On my one New King James Study Bible, I wrote in the margin, I wrote PPP. You know what that means? Pulled pork platter. So in hindsight, how can this kind of thing happen in a church today? Now, here's a similar story of what happened at First Baptist Cocoa Beach when I was serving there under Ken Babington. First of all, you know, church was struggling. Then all of a sudden, seemed like one day, but it was over a short period of time, a whole bunch of homeschooling families started to join the church there. Like 18 of them. And they insisted on teaching their own Bible study class. They refused to sit under the pastor. The church was struggling with membership. But then all of a sudden, all these people, these homeschools and these families, they all wanted to join the church. And everyone praised God and this and that, because on the surface, that seemed like a great thing. Oh, God's answered our prayers. Look at all these people that want to join the church. And then it became known that all the people that were joining the church was just a ploy to affect a big vote that was coming on as to whether or not the church ought to sell its $2 million property to somebody. See, you just never know sometimes. Now, had the bylaws of that church been different, this group would have taken over the church and had enough votes to sway any election. While you're glorifying God over here, because 18 new families have just joined the church. The only thing that saved them was in the bylaws of First Baptist Cocoa Beach, you have to be a member for a year before you are allowed to vote. To prevent things exactly like this from happening there at the church. That's why I like to say, you know, if you don't agree with the doctrine here, please don't join the church. By all means, keep coming. We're brothers. We fellowship together. But you might not want to join the church. If you don't agree with the doctrine, it's posted online. It's available to all to read. Now, our safety feature in our bylaws is that any potential member agrees not to try to change the church's doctrine or to try to influence other members to do so. So, you know, if that ever happened, you know, that would be out of order, you'd say, according to Robert's rules, right? But this is what was happening 2,000 years later. Verse 6, now from those who seemed to be something, whatever they were makes no difference to me. Because God shows personal favoritism to no man. For those who seemed to be something added nothing to me. Now, meaning, he wasn't taught by these guys. If you remember from last week, he received a direct revelation from God, his teaching. It didn't, remember, an apostle, not from men, nor through a man, but through Jesus Christ. Verse 7, but on the contrary, when they, that is James and John and Andrew, the founding members of the church, when they saw the gospel for the uncircumcised, when they saw that the gospel for the Jewish folk were uncircumcised, a Gentile, had been committed to me, as the gospel for the circumcised was to Peter, for he who worked effectively in Peter for the apostleship to the circumcised also worked effectively in me toward the Gentiles. When James, Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that had been given to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. That's where that saying comes from. The right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. They desired only, of all the things they could have argued or talked about or what was important, they desired only that we should remember the poor. Wow. Boy, am I proud of this church.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Have I told you about Boaters Exchange? Boaters Exchange is a family-owned boat store in Rockledge on US 1, right next to Rockledge Gardens. From Melbourne to Titusville, from Merritt Island to the beaches, Boaters Exchange serves the local community with boating supplies, boats, and world-class service as well. Boaters Exchange is a proud corporate sponsor and underwriter of the radio ministries of WMIE. They are available at 638-0090. Boaters Exchange was recently named one of the top 100 boat dealers in North America, and they are the only 5-star dealer in Brevard. Once again, Boaters Exchange at 638-0090, 321-638-0090.
Lord, I come.